Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our special Behind the Geeks episode for X-Men 97. If you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast covering the world of movies, TV shows, toys, collectibles, gaming, and all things Geekcentric. My name is Justin, and today I have the privilege of introducing our lovely interview with the supervising producer and supervising director of X-Men 97, Jake Casarina. A huge thanks, as always, to our friends at Disney Studios Canada and Marvel Studios Canada, by extension, for helping to set up this interview. We're super grateful for the opportunity to chat with Jake and talk about this fantastic series. Honestly, you guys are in for a treat. Our spoiler-free review for X-Men 97 will be dropping Wednesday, the same day that X-Men 97 is available on Disney Plus, which is March 20th. So stay tuned for that. But without further ado, let's get into this interview with the supervising producer and supervising director of X-Men 97, Jake Casarina. Hey, Jake, how are you, man?
Justin, thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you making the time to be on the Geekcentric podcast. Listen, it's got to be great right now. You guys just had your premiere last night, three episodes with a fan event in LA. How you feeling? How you feeling after you get the fans have seen some stuff?
Aside from the shoulders being down and a good sigh of relief, just I'm still hyped, man. I'm on cloud nine. Still recovering from last night with the rest of the crew. We just had a late night, you know, all just right. we were able to be still for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, this whole team top down works monumentally hard to bring, you right. know, bring this one vision to life, right? Mm-hmm. And so just to watch all the individual departments, everyone who was able to make it, just to be like, cool.
Yeah.
You know,
relax. Just, yeah. It's like what, two or three years of working on it, about roughly 2 or 3 years about working.
Yeah, it's been about two-ish, three years. Yeah. I don't know what time is anymore.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, it's been a minute, you know, yeah. and we've all been working in tandem together for a while. So, you know, just to look at the end of the day, job's still not done. Doesn't mean we get to relax. Right. Mm-hmm. I will say this, those first three episodes, those are our slowest episodes, my man.
No, I can only imagine. And there's got to be a sense of validation that comes along with it as well, hearing such great things, because everyone's talking about it online now. You know, people are using the excited and extraordinary. They're using all the X puns, but I simply just said it's phenomenal because of the animation and the visual style that you guys chose to go with. You know, you kept what made the original series so special and unique in that 90s vibe, that nostalgia is still there, but the point of perspective is so different with the animation. So how did you guys land on that visual style? Were there inspirations that kind of served as like a sort of a backbone of like, this is what we want to see from this iteration?
That's been my favorite question to answer so far, because I really get to harken back to, you know, the one, when you have strong scripts, when you have a good foundation mm-hmm. to go off of, it just makes it easier. Not that it makes the job easy. It just makes, it helps you know where not to go, right? And that's mm-hmm. already process of elimination. So, you know, with Bodomeo and led with Marvel, Brad Winterbaum and Dana Vasquez, just making sure the story, the Bible, you know, all making sure that worked, getting to come in and visually add to that was just about plussing what was already there. So knowing what was intended helped us visually able to, you know, to go craft it. And with that, it came down to one, you look at between like 96, 98, what was being filmed at the time? What, right. you know, what was considered cinematic? What was considered groundbreaking? You know, what kind of lenses were they using? How are things being directed? Look at TV, look at anime, look at animation, feature, you know, we were just looking at all the things that were just cinematically and visually just around at the time, and the vibes of what this stuff and how things were put together, and the technicality of this was broadcast, things were on VHS transfer that automatically did a certain level of zhuzhing because of just
up.
So it's like, oh, okay. It's not just about the filters, but it's also about the style of storytelling, the visual style of storytelling, when you shoot with the compressed lens, when not, who you cut to, who you don't cut to, right? Mm-hmm. Standing next to each other, who's not standing next to each other. There's so many parameters about getting that feel before we even throw a filter on it, you know? And the filter, when it comes in, that's just icing on the cake. And mm-hmm. but into that, that's also a lot of work, you know?
Yes, of course.
You know,
I can imagine.
But the world has to know, like, that little frame judder that we have in there, that's hand done, mm-hmm. you know? That's uniquely done for this show.
Yeah.
There was a lot of parameters and a lot of work and a lot of, you know, just inspiration from the OG show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just inspiration of what was done back then, but also just how much we've learned over 30 years as a medium, right? Just,
yeah.
And et cetera. So.
Yeah, no, I think that it speaks volumes. It feels like an upgrade. Like everything feels like it's intact from what was back in the 90s. You know, we fast forward to, you know, 27 years later, and here we are with something that just visually looks different, but is still holistically the same as what we remember. And yeah, it's cinematic. I think the 90s kept you on the outside of the world, whereas I feel like this new series is bringing you into it a lot more with its cinematics. So I really do appreciate you taking the time, Jake. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing more of this show and seeing what you have in store for future seasons.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. Glad you enjoyed it. And on behalf of the team, thank you so much.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Peace. Well, that is our interview with Jake Kasserina. A huge thanks again to him for his time, and a huge thanks again to our friends at Disney Studios Canada and Marvel Studios Canada for setting up that interview. As I mentioned, we will have a spoiler-free review for X-Men 97 coming out on Wednesday, the same day that this series drops, March 20th, on Disney Plus. So definitely make sure you're subscribed so you know when that episode drops. But hey, if you've been following along, then you know we got a couple other episodes related to X-Men 97, including our interview with George Buzza, who is the voice of Beast, both in the original X-Men animated series and in the upcoming X-Men 97. And we also have an interview with Lenore Zahn, the voice of Rogue, also from the original animated series and now returning to X-Men 97. Both those interviews, including this one, are available on all podcast feeds as well as on YouTube at youtube.com/geekcentric. There'll be links in the description below so you can go check those out, but be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to let us know, a 5-star review goes a long way. Or if you want to write into us, you can do so at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or if you want to reach out to us on our socials, you can hit us up on X, formerly known as Twitter, at GeekcentricYT, or on Instagram at WeAreGeekcentric. We got a lot of stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. We are going to be doing some more coverage, some more interviews, so stay tuned. But until then, I appreciate you. Peace.